Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Wednesday, August 31st. I'm reading from the New International Version. In our sermon series this semester, we are going through the Ten Commandments. And I thought it might be fun to review the first two commandments. Now, I have this whole hand signals thing that helps me to remember them that I got from Jen Wilkin, who got it from a homeschool mom. The first one, you hold up just one finger like you're saying, I'm number one. And that is to remind us that there is only one God. So what do you think the first commandment is? You shall have no other gods before me. Now, the second commandment, you hold up that same finger, and then you hold up a second middle finger and kind of crouch it down like it is bowing down. And the second command is, you shall have no other gods before me, or no idols. So maybe we'll review each week the Ten Commandments, and by the end of our series, we'll know them by heart because these are tenets of our faith, and they resurface again and again in the Scripture. Deuteronomy 33, 1 through 11, begins the blessings of Moses on the tribes. This is the blessing that Moses, the man of God, pronounced on the Israelites before his death. He said, "The Lord came from Sinai and dawned over them from Seir. He shone forth from Mount Paran. He came with myriads of holy ones from the south, from his mountain slopes. Surely it is you who love the people. All the holy ones are in your hand. At your feet they all bow down, and from you receive instruction. The law that Moses gave us, the possession of the assembly of Jacob." Okay, before I continue on with verse 5, I want to remind you about yesterday learning a new word, Jeshurun, which means the upright one, and that is Israel. Okay, here we go. He was king over Jeshurun when the leaders of the people assembled along with the tribes of Israel. Let Reuben live and not die, nor his men be few. And this he said about Judah. Hear, Lord, the cry of Judah. Bring him to his people. With his own hands he defends his cause. Oh, be his help against his foes. About Levi, he said, your Thummim and Urim belong to the man you favored. You tested him at Massah. You contended with him at the waters of Meribah. He said of his father and mother, I have no regard for them. He did not recognize his brothers or acknowledge his own children, but he watched over your word and guarded your covenant. He teaches your precepts to Jacob and your law to Israel. He offers incense before you and whole burnt offerings on your altar. Bless all his skills, Lord, and be pleased with the work of his hands. Strike down those who rise against him, his foes, till they rise no more. Now let's turn over to the Psalms. I want to let you know that in both the Deuteronomy passage and also in the Psalms here, you're going to hear these two words, Massah and Meribah. Now you might have remembered off the top of your head what those terms mean, but I had to do a little bit of remembering via the internet. And I remembered as I read an article on God Questions, which is probably not the best resource as it relates to theological education, but anyway, that central to both of these locations is the miracle of water coming from the rock. So you'll remember that the Israelites in the wandering in the desert, they were angry and grumbling at many times, but several of the times it was because they did not have water. And so they went and they quarreled with Moses about this. And the first time they do it, Moses brings this to the Lord and the Lord enables him to strike the rock so that water would come out of it. Now, the second time around at Massah, God tells Moses to speak to the rock. And instead of demonstrating God's glory and provision and speaking to the rock, Moses struck the rock again. And in this way, he brought punishment upon himself in that he's not going to be able to enter the promised land. And every time I read that, which is coming again in Deuteronomy 34, it just disappoints me so much. But we must remember that Moses does see the ultimate promised land, and you and I also may not see the promises of God fulfilled in this life, but we can trust in God's heart and know that He is fulfilling His promises. Psalm 95 talks about Meribah and Massa as it relates the idea of the Israelites hardening their hearts and grumbling. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before Him with thanksgiving and extol Him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In His hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to Him. The sea is His, for He made it, and His hands form the dry land. Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, the flock under His care. Today, if only you would hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah, as you did that day at Massa in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested me. They tried me, though they had seen what I did. For 40 years I was angry with that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. Our final passage for today is Philemon chapter 8. Well, there's only one chapter in Philemon, isn't there? Okay, so Philemon verses 8 through 25. You may remember that yesterday I mentioned the slave Onesimus. And Onesimus is a slave to Philemon, and Paul is pleading for Onesimus today in the passage. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love. It is as none other than Paul, an old man and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, that I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do would not seem forced, but would be voluntary. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back forever. No longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a fellow man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong and owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back. Not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. And one more thing. Prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings. And so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Thank you so much on this Wednesday for listening along to the podcast. I was thinking about verse 12. Paul says that Onesimus is my very heart, that I am sending him back to you. And I was thinking about the different people in our lives who have part of our heart, who have been such a source of encouragement and love and support to us over the years. And I thought, as we end the podcast, let us pray, thanking the Lord for the people who come to mind, who were like Onesimus for Paul. Will you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it reminds us of your spirit that is at work in each of us. We thank you that you are living and active, and you are a God who is from yesterday, today, and forever. We thank you, Lord, for this rhythm, and we ask, Lord, that you would continue to conform our hearts to that of Jesus. Thank you for those in our lives who have encouraged us. We specifically lift them up to you right now in thanksgiving. Thank you for those who have lived in a way that allowed us to flourish. We give you praise for them even now. And we pray alongside those in our midst who are lonely and downcast. Lord, we are not infinite like you are, but in our finite nature, you still spur us on and you give us a word. And so we ask, Lord, today that you would help us to know who we should encourage, who we can be a light for, who we can help to flourish. We thank you, Lord, for your wisdom and your word. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.